In the 1 John chapter 5, down there where we read very clearly, and we are in him who is true, even in his son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God in eternal life. And now in the context of that, you know, Jesus is referred to as giving eternal life. He's eternal life. He's called the life. He's called the Amen Zoe. And now he's called Jesus in that context. In Greek is emphatic here that Jesus Christ, he is the true God, capital G.
Now, this is a classic text that's brought up from time to time. There are probably a half a dozen or so of these that are texts that can be either interpreted or translated two different ways. And in this case, you're reading the text, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true God, the true God and eternal life. My translation, the New American Standard updated version, has a period after Christ and then a new sentence, this is the true God and eternal life. And the Greek there is ambiguous. It could be referring back to the very last prepositional phrase, in his son Jesus Christ. That's certainly the way in which you're taking the text. Or it could be referring back to him who is true and being in him who is true, in his son. So we have two persons being mentioned in verse 20, and I would argue that when it says this is the true God in eternal life, just like in John 17:3, this is the true God, the Father, that it's going back to God. And there's actually another text in 1 John where it says this is the Antichrist. And if you'd use the same logic with that, you end up with someone that's not supposed to be the Antichrist being the Antichrist. So, you know, it's a relative clause. We have to determine, using our interpretational, what's available to us, what does it refer to? And there are two equally valid options. I've got a commentary in front of me, the Myers Commentary of the New Testament, in which it is argued very convincingly by a Trinitarian that this is not referring to Jesus. It would be completely foreign to the language of John to say that Jesus is the true God and eternal life, considering the whole of the revelation there in 1 John. Can I quote from this, or?
Hold on just
sure.
A moment, Sean.
Oh, sure.
Russ, the mouthpiece to your phone,
right.
You're breathing on it, and it's making static.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes,
sure.
Yes. We're okay.
Oh, okay, we're back. All right, this dispute, I quote, this dispute cannot be settled on grammatical lines. For utos, and I'm using the modern Greek pronunciation, so it'll be sounding a little different than Russ's, it can be referred both to ton alethanon and also to to io. The addition, ke zoe aionios, seems to support the latter reference. In other words, have you got that right, Russ?
Well, I'm only mentioning it because I've translated the book from Greek to English.
Sure, sure. Well, I'll translate as I read. The dispute cannot be settled on grammatical lines, for this one can be referred to the truth, the true one, or to the Son. The addition of and, you know, eternal life, Zoe Ionos, seems to support the latter reference. For Christ in the Gospel of John calls himself the life. But the former reference, on the other hand, is supported by the expression o alethinos theos, which is the true God, you know, we saw it in John 17:3. For in the first place, it is more natural to understand here the same subject as previously designated by the true than any other. And in the second place, the Father and the Son, God and Jesus Christ are always so definitely distinguished throughout the whole epistle that it would be strange if at the close of it, and moreover, just after both subjects have been similarly distinguished immediately before, Christ, without further explanation too, should be described as o alethinos theos, the true God, especially as this designation is never ascribed to the Son in the writings of John definitely, though the divinity of the Son is taught in them. So he's coming from a Trinitarian perspective, and yet he's disagreeing with your reading of 1 John 5:20.
Partially he's disagreeing with it because, again, reading just in the context. The context is there's no reference to the Father, from verse 13 on down. But when you come to verse, because also, you know, the book of 1 John is dealing with the Cerinthian and Docetic Gnostics, both of which deny the deity. The entire book of 1 John is written in the context of fighting those Gnostic beliefs in the revelation of who Jesus is. So it begins in chapter 1, first four verses, about this eternally existing one, because it's, again, not in the aorist, it's in the imperative. And this one who always existed appeared. There's a point in time when he appeared for a while, like it says in 1 John chapter 1. And then when we come to the close of the chapter, we don't negate and we don't nullify what the scripture says, because it didn't say it earlier in this book, because it didn't say anything about idols until verse 21. Dear children, keep yourself from idols, in reference to the idolatry of the false teaching, which the false teaching was the denial of the deity of Jesus. So when you read it in the Greek, when I read it in the Greek, there's no question of the emphatic proclamation at the end of this purposely, because so many times, you know, in the Greek, how they put the verb at the end to be like the explosion of what was just said. So this, the whole book now comes to an explosion about who Jesus is, what he needs to be confessed as, the Father and the Son and so forth, who has the Father, has the Son and so forth, showing again the concept of plurality, not in function, but not in personage. But trying to negate that this does not refer to Jesus in this, even using one individual, again, I have to still go back to just what the construction of the Greek is, the construction of any of the primary translations anywhere, that even his son, Jesus Christ, he is a reference to directly Jesus Christus. He is the true God, as opposed to the false representations of the Gnostics.
Right. Yeah, thank you for that response. I'm just going to have to disagree. We'll have to agree to disagree on this point, because the Greek there is ambiguous. The a lot rides on the punctuation, and there are two persons mentioned in verse 20, him who is true and in his son, Jesus Christ. So if we're talking about him who is true, the Father, then it's just saying that the Father is the true God in eternal life. Then it's a Unitarian text. If it's referring to Jesus, then it is affirming that Jesus is the true God in eternal life, which would stand out as completely different than anywhere else in the writings of John.
Well, but then again, go to Hebrews. God, capital G, says to your God, capital G.
Sure. Shall I answer Hebrews 1:8?
Oh, that's fine. I just want to make sure that when listeners hear somebody negate this as ambiguous.
Just the Greek is ambiguous here.
The Greek is not ambiguous.
It could be read two different ways.
Well, you're using that with your point of view, but it's look how it's written, translated. You know, look at the King James, how it's translated. Look how it's simply stated. The word Father is not in the first prior. You know, if we're reading in context, we're not reading Father here in the first prior verses. We're reading Jesus, God. And then
who's the one who is true here in this verse?
Oh, that's Jesus, Jesus Christ.
So
it's
Jesus is his own son.
No. When it says we are in him who is true, referring to our relationship to Jesus, even in the Son, Jesus Christ,
the Son of the true one is Jesus. That's the clear implication of the Greek there.
No, the implication of the Greek is that he is the true God is a reference to Jesus Christ.
Well, that's, again, I think we'll just have to disagree on that.
Why?
Well, because I've already pointed out, when it says this is, it's the utos, and it's referring back to either Jesus Christ or him who is true. And I think that considering the fact it says this is the true God, it's referring back to the person who is true, and that is clearly the Father.
I guarantee you'll have to disagree, because, and you'll have to make it sound confusing to negate what it's saying, and it's going to be that way with a lot of the scriptures.